Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
What do we look for when we are considering submitting to certain elders in our life with Christ? I spoke with a guy the other day who claims and touts to be elder, and probably because he's got a seminary degree. So that automatically makes him an elder, right? Absolutely dead wrong. Obtaining a seminary degree, which costs the person tens of thousands of dollars, is not a requirement for an elder in the body of Christ. It's nowhere listed in the list of qualifications. For example, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, notice what it says here, and more importantly, perhaps, what it does not say here. When these boards and these churches, these bureaucracies we call churches today, are looking for a pastor, a new elder to teach, to labor in the word and doctrine, 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18, they're looking in every case that I've ever seen. You may be able to relate, and I'm sure it's not every case, but the vast majority of cases, they're not biblical. They haven't been trained and don't study the word daily and don't care to be rich in following God exactly according to His word. And so what are they looking for? They're looking for the cool dude, the handsome guy with the pretty wife and kids, that is a slick talker, that is a good talker. Again, that is also something that's not seen in this list. Notice 1 Timothy 3, beginning of verse 1. This is a true saying: if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. So it sounds like he's got to be married. He must have a life that's clean, vigilant, sober, not lazy, but vigilant, diligent, and watchful. Sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt or capable to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not somebody that's on the edge and ready to punch somebody out, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not somebody, again, that's ready to get into physical altercation, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity or honesty. For if a man know not how to rule his house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So he has to have his own house in order. Verse 6 here, not a novice, not somebody that's new to the faith, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. That's the qualifications for an elder or a bishop that's going to teach the word and oversee, not be an overlord, but oversee, 1 Peter 5, 1 through 6, the body of Christ. Now, we could go through this and break this whole list down a lot deeper, but that wasn't the point here. Remember, a seminary degree, being able to articulate words and draw crowds, is not on that list at all. And that's exactly what the modern church is always looking for. They're looking for the cool dude that they can tell everybody around town, our pastor's the greatest. We got a great praise and worship band. Our church is so amazing. What a family. And nothing ever about Jesus. It's never about upholding the head, capital H, Jesus. That's how you know the fruit of a false fellowship, which is, I'm sorry, folks, I'm just going to be honest, well over 90% of the fellowships today, they're absolutely false right there. They're dead on false, 100%. They aren't magnifying Jesus, and yet they have this great family worship center, this amazing pasture, and all of this stupidity. It's never about Jesus Christ. The Bible says, we preach Jesus crucified, Paul said, and he also said, God forbid that I should glory, save, or accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Fellowship is where we gather arm in arm or shoulder to shoulder with arms lifted high in worship and hearts lifted high to our King. We don't become enamored with the mere men in our midst that we've set up as idols. 1 Peter 2:5, ye also as lively or living stones we've made alive in Christ, were dead and buried and raised up with and in him. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, not a carnal house, a spiritual house. And what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6 about if you be carnally minded, it's death, right? But if you be spiritually minded, it's life and peace. So let's read that again, 1 Peter 2:5. Ye also as lively or living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy. See, Jesus said the Holy Spirit was going to magnify him, not your pastor. So if the Spirit's moving, Christ is being magnified. And that matters first and foremost in the individual life of the blood-bought saint. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and they will follow no other. And yet, in the modern church, this is never heard of. They want to replace, and what they have done is replace your personal place of worship, your individual priesthood worship in Christ at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and being led of him with church attendance. So that's why we have such empty. Make no mistakes, it's the false priesthood of seminarians that have led the modern church pawns into the ditch of ultimately eternal destruction. It's the blind leading the blind. You shall know them by their fruits, saints. What are their fruits? They're bragging about attending church. They're telling you, you got to get in a church. They're telling you how wonderful their pastor is and the praise and worship band and how they had a church family picnic this week. I'm sorry. Am I missing something? When are they ever magnifying Jesus? When do you see Jesus oozing out of every pore of their eyes and their heart and their life? Are they on fire? Do they love the Lamb of God? Or have they replaced their worship of God with church attendance? And that's normally the case right there. Anybody who wants to get to know God these days in this apostate age is coming out of that. That's what the Bible says. Come out of her, my people. Come out of her. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Notice what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, that's Satan, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Idol pastors, the church is an idol. Everything is an idol because Jesus is not being elevated. He's not being upheld. Colossians 2, 18 and 19, that's false worship because they're not upholding, they're not elevating Christ, the head of the church. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Then he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And that would include the idolatry of the church itself, or the pastor, or anything else. Anything that comes before Christ. Jesus said that if you don't have him as first love, as he told the Ephesian believers in Revelation 2, beginning in verse 1, that you have to repent. He said you have to repent. That means you're headed for hell. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said you had to repent. checked out with Luke 13:3. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So if Jesus is calling us to repent, if we don't, we're going to perish. We're going to hell. Luke 13:3. So we're living stones. We're built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar or a special people, that ye should show forth the praises of him, Jesus, who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What does it become? It's become all about the seminary degree, the eldership, them touting their authority, and that you need to be there every time the doors open and all that, with no mention of magnifying Jesus, no teaching of having a heart after God like David did, the man after God's own heart, who said, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually, 1 Chronicles 16:11. They'll tell you to keep coming to church continually, but they won't instruct you with the word of God, which says, seek his face continually, 1 Chronicles 16:9. So there's no such thing as a requirement to be an eloquent speaker. Paul said he did not use eloquence of speech to the body of Christ so that their faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, would not stand in him, in other words, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. So there's no requirement in the list of qualifications for a bishop, overseer, an elder listed. It's seminary degree, slick talker, none of that. Such requirements are nowhere listed for elders in 1 Timothy 3. Yet the majority of so-called churches today in this modern church era are run by seminarians who got the job. Yeah, they got the job due to their degree that they slapped on their resume and paid tens of thousands of dollars for and don't even know the word. Wow, they learned how to build a church business. Most people don't know that. Those of us who've been around Bible colleges and seminaries know that very well. And the ones that are still fighting to admit that and won't admit that are the ones that have not yet repented. And this is all going unnoticed, unquestioned. So they're conquering the laity by deception is what they're doing. And that's why Jesus said he hated the deeds and the doctrines of the Nicolaitane. These things are not even talked about. Many of you are hearing this for the first time. In some cases, the ones arguing to define fellowship as coming to their church. It's not official if it's in the living room or if it's in somebody's home like the early church. You got to go to their official church building and submit to their eldership, their self-appointed eldership in most cases. And notice they are the ones that stand the profit from such when they aren't even fulfilling the duties of an elder. And probably most of them aren't even called by God. Jesus said, I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And that's to the abiding saints of Christ, not to seminarians. I've been to two Bible colleges. And I can tell you, probably 7 or 8 out of 10 men there at this particular Bible college I'm thinking of that I attended were not even saved and did not want to be saved. So they were the future hireling wolves of the modern churches. And most people have no clue of that. They innocently or gullibly drive by and say, oh, there's a church. Listen, a building is not a church. Church means the called out people of God. Look up the word church. Church is the people, not the steeple, as the song used to say. I haven't heard that song in years. We should be teaching that to our kids again. I didn't grow up in a Christian home or as a Christian, but I heard that song. It's all about the people. You open your hands and there's the people and something rhyming with steeple. And that's a good truth. It's all about the people. Jesus didn't come and die so that a priesthood of wolves who are his enemies could open up real estate property and throw a steeple on it and call it a church and mislead his people. That's not why Jesus came. Jesus, the scripture says, came to seek and save that which was lost and to give them a relationship with him. They are regenerated, born again, and his new creatures. And he is their great shepherd, and they hear his voice through his word and by his spirit, and they follow him, not you, sir. Paul said, not that we have dominion over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy. It sounds like Paul was saying, we're here to pray pray for you and foster in you a love for God and to help you to seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face continually, and to please your Savior in all your ways, glorifying and loving and worshiping the nail-scarred, risen Savior, Jesus Christ, upholding Him as the head, the final divine authority of your personal life. That's 2 Corinthians 1:24. That's going to be a good one for you to remember, because there are always going to be those people who coercively try to manipulate you in your life and to preside over you in an unwarranted fashion, because you have one shepherd and His name is Jesus Christ. He's the only one with nail-scarred hands and feet who rose from the dead after being crucified for your sins, who bought you with His precious blood. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:23, you are bought with a price, that's the blood of Christ, the price of the blood of Christ. Be ye not therefore the servants of men. So submission to men is to be in such a way that you're not submitting fully your whole life and everything to them. You're submitted to God. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And one of the ways you're going to resist the devil is to resist his agents, which masquerade as the ministers of Christ, 2 Corinthians 11:12-15. And they're the ones that are going to not feed the flock. They're not going to teach you to get in the Word, to live a life of prayer, to deny yourself daily, take up your cross, and follow Christ. If they're not preaching those basic foundational cardinal truths of the Christian faith, they're not of God. See, true elders are feeding you the pure milk of the Word of God to help you grow in Christ. They're not getting in the way of your relationship with Christ or trying to usurp it. They're not doing it by constraint, Peter says, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not for money, but of a ready mind. They're not lords over God's heritage. Whose heritage is it? God's heritage. But being examples to the flock, so that what? Verse 4, 1 Peter 5, when the chief shepherd, that's Jesus, shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, notice ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another. Also, it says in Ephesians 5:21, submit ye one to another in the fear of God. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. This changes the dynamic, doesn't it? And be clothed with you. Humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due season. I want to pause here to thank God for the true godly pastors, the elders. Notice Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart. That is, according to the heart of the great shepherd of the sheep who came and gave His life for those sheep. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge. They're going to give you the word and understanding. What a blessing to have pastors, elders, that are functioning according to as God has ordained them to function and not overstepping their boundaries. See, you're never going to meet one of these hireling wolves who's glad to see people growing in Christ. That's not really what they're interested in. They're interested in corralling, as we see in Jeremiah 23. The whole chapter is dedicated to exposing these false shepherds. Also Ezekiel 34. You don't have an education in the biblical truth about false leaders unless you thoroughly know and study Jeremiah 23. I'm just going to leave you with that one chapter, my friend. So these guys want to be elders. They pretend to be elders because they set up a real estate building. They opened up a piece of real estate and put a bunch of chairs in there, threw a pulpit up there, threw a cross behind the pulpit on the wall, got a band together, and now they're an elder? No, that doesn't qualify them as elders. And so some of those arguing to define fellowship as that which happens under their care, under their roof, in their temple. But the Bible says God dwelleth not in the temples built by the hands of men. Acts 7, I believe it's 42 or 24 and 48, etc. These guys aren't even fulfilling the duties of an elder. The fruit of their congregations aren't healthy, cross and Bible-based disciples of Jesus who labor daily in the Father's business, which is the Great Commission. The elders laboring in the early church, in contrast, at Jerusalem, equipped the saints who were healthy in Christ. How do we know that? Because when persecution broke out in Jerusalem, here's what it says, Acts 8:4, therefore they that were scattered abroad, everybody went away from Jerusalem except the apostles, the body of Christ, who had been trained under the first elders in Christ's New Testament kingdom, the apostles, they went everywhere preaching the word. So were they equipped? Absolutely. They went out and preached the word all over the known world. Acts 8 verse 4 says again, therefore they that were scattered abroad when persecution hit Jerusalem went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. They didn't go everywhere looking for a church. It's time to stop looking for a church and be the church. Fellowship with the church. But you got to have elders. Yeah, but let's talk about that for a second. I've got elders, but I don't go to the same building as they do on Sunday morning. We have a naturally occurring relationship in the body of Christ where we're submitted one to another. I don't preside over anyone, neither do they. We're submitted one to another in the fear of God, Ephesians 5:21, and as we just read in 1 Peter 5:1 through 6. Most church-attending Christians today can't even pass out one gospel tract weekly and have no conviction of this sin of rebellion, that is, of not obeying Christ's Great Commission mandate. Why? Obviously, they're sitting under false leadership. They have nothing in them to evangelize the lost. And yet these guys want you to come to their church when nobody in their church, they aren't even winning people to Jesus in their personal lives, these elders. You got to be kidding me. Paul told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. I believe that's 2 Timothy 4:5. So there are many elders or pretend elders, fake pastors and bishops who are vying for your submission. Yet most of these guys do not biblically qualify. Notice Hebrews 13:7 and 17 give us earmarked characteristics to look for in submitting to elders. Number one, according to verse 7, they must preach the pure written word of God to you and get you into it for yourself. And number two, according to verse 17 of Hebrews 13, they must watch for your soul by prayer, correction, admonition, exhortation, equipping for the work of the ministry, feeding you the word of God, exhorting you, etc., to obey God, to live a life that's crucified with Christ, a life of prayer, digging in and diligently studying his word every day. Where's the last time you ever saw that in a local church? Oh, but they're going to preach about coming to church every week. They're going to say something about that. But then they're not going to tell you to deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. They really don't care about that. They care about you being a repeat customer of coming back every Sunday. It's a shame, but it's a fact. Never put yourself under an elder or elders who aren't preaching the word to you and getting you into it for yourself. Paul told Timothy, his understudy, preach the word, but he also, before that, he said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You do it. You study to show yourself approved unto God. Peter said this, he says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes to the new Christians, desire the sincere or the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So there it is. Both the apostle Paul, the apostle Peter, and also Jesus said, search the scriptures. They are they which testify of me, John 5:39 and 40. So we got Jesus on record. We got Peter on record. We got Paul on record telling the people to get in the word for themselves. Boom. And your pastor isn't getting you in the word for yourself and you're submitted to this fraud? Yeah, you could tell him I said it. I could tell you this kind of preaching, which is by the Holy Ghost, recently has really stirred up some false teachers. They are not happy. You know, it's kind of like the livelihood of those who were selling Diana statues in the book of Acts when Paul was preaching. They wanted to kill Paul because his preaching of the gospel was causing people to leave their idols and crush them and no longer buy them. And so these guys were losing their source of income. They were mad. So you can see why this gets folks mad. They want you to think you need them. You don't need them. You certainly don't need me, who am less than the least of all saints. You don't need any minister, beloved. You need Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. Yes, there are elders that God has ordained among the people of God. That's what Peter said. They're among, not over, the people of God. And they're there to help you grow in Christ in some of the ways we mentioned from the scriptures earlier. But they're not to take the place of worshiping Jesus, of seeking his face daily in his word, spending quality moments in prayer every day, praying for the body of Christ, etc. Repentance, confession of sin, praying the word. And so many of these elders and pastors, unfortunately, talk so much about their own calling and how people should be submitting themselves to them and coming to their little church meetings on Sunday morning. They talk more about that than about the nail-scarred risen Savior. They don't glory in the cross of Christ. They glory in their own calling, which is supposedly from Christ. Colossians 2:18 and 19 tells us that they're not holding or upholding Christ as the head of his body. Colossians 2:18 and 19. And this seems to be clear evidence that they are glorying in self and not in the Savior. So, as we come to a close here, beloved, how is he, your pastor, watching for your soul when he isn't even getting you into the Word of God for yourself? That tells you right now he could care less about your eternal soul. He's not watching for your soul, as Hebrews 13:17 tells us a true elder will do. He's not helping you hear the voice of God via the written Word of God, which is a lamp to your feet and a light into your path, as you live a life of prayer and you walk in the Spirit. If he's not doing those things, he's not watching for your soul. He's playing you for your shekels. Also, never place yourself under any man or men who care more about you attending their local church services and submitting to their illegitimate authority than they do about getting you into the Word of God, causing you to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and live a life of prayer every day, seeking the Lord and His strength, seeking His face continually. First Chronicles 16:11. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, to discern, Lord, between the holy and the profane, to see the wolves in sheep's clothing, to believe not every spirit, to test those spirits to see whether they are of God, because you said many false prophets are going out into the world. God, make us very, very sensitive through the sharpening of your word, which circumcises our heart more and more every day and washes us more and more every day, even the double-edged sword of the Word of God. Teach us, God. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, to know who is an authentic disciple of yours and who is a wolf in sheep's clothing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.